Okay, Ramblers, let's get rambling.
Now where it is now, everybody wants a piece of the market.
Oh my God, that is funny!
I don't remember asking you a thing.
I'm funny how? I mean funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you?
With all due respect, what the are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, did I break your concentration?
What the so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's wrong.
You represent the idiocy of today.
I did not know that.
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Are you listening to me?
How's my shit together?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
So that's it then. No one else really knows anything.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tim Howell. Craig Tappas in studio. Mitt Byrne on the board. SP Futures up 18. NASDAQ Futures up 63 as the world continues to get turned upside down. We have crypto up another almost 3,000, 82,239. It appears that Elon Musk thinks he's making policy now. So he's saying Bitcoin's good, and we've got all kinds of stuff going on. By the way, did you was Musk on the ballot, Greg, or no? I didn't see him, did you?
Indirectly.
Ah, okay. Just curious. I mean, I just, you know.
Musk, RFK.
Yeah. They're all
Tulsi Gabbard.
Yeah, they're all sort of on the ballot. But
I remember being confused by a flag I saw. The flag said, it said Trump, and then it said Vance, and then it said Kennedy underneath it. I thought I missed a trick or something.
Yeah, well, he was on the ballot here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know how many votes he got. Actually, I think he got like, didn't he get like 2 or 3% or something? I'm not sure.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, he, I don't even know if they report that.
He was suing states to get him off the ballot,
yeah.
And some didn't let him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's already printed. How do you get off? It's kind of curious, but anyway.
Robert Kennedy had, according to Google, 1.4% of the vote, 76,979.
In Illinois,
yeah.
Wow, 76,000 people voted for him?
Yep.
That's...
I think part of his deal with Trump was he wanted to get off the ballot so that wouldn't take votes. I don't know.
I think so too. But I mean, how? Who the hell were the 76,000 people, and what's wrong with them?
fellow neighbors.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't. Anyway, I'm looking here. It looks to me like the GOP is going to win the House as well. Even though there's still, for God's sake, there's still 15, there's still like 19 seats that aren't. How is it that you can have a presidential count in a district that doesn't have a House count yet? Alaska doesn't.
I think we should start punishing those people.
Well, we should do
it. They lose half their electoral votes every day they don't have.
Let's just deport them. Can we support them?
No, they can stay. They can pay taxes. They just can't vote.
Alaska has not returned their person yet. Although he thinks it's going to be red. It's pink here on me.
Yeah, there needs to be a penalty for that.
What are we going to do?
Take away some electoral votes next time.
They only have a couple.
Well, take away one.
What do you get? You get two plus the amount of reps?
Two senators and then amount of reps.
Yeah, so the minimum you can have is three, right?
Yeah. So
Maine is also... Upstate Maine is also not
take
reporting.
One away.
How can upstate Maine not be reporting? Of course, once you get upstate Maine, is anybody even there? Aren't the roads even private up there? Somebody, Kathy Durbin or somebody used to be on the show, tried to drive through there once and said it was weird. A lot of roads are like private and stuff. Once you get up in Maine, people don't really like anybody else much, from what I understand, having never been there, but it seems like kind of an odd sort of spot. So I've got, according to this map, Alaska's guy is not guy or girl. Is not been named yet. Somebody in southeastern Arizona, that district is not called yet, even though it's leaning pink. Well, pink means leaning red. There's a couple of spots in the middle of California that are leaning pink, and two spots that are leaning blue. Yeah. Make that 3 and 3. So how do you have 6 congressional districts in California? We're talking about a week. And all of them must have given their presidential vote totals. I don't get it.
Yep.
There's a big
take them out.
There's a big section of Iowa that hasn't figured it out yet either. That looks like it's going to be red. There's a Washington spot that hasn't figured out yet. Middle Washington, it looks like it's red.
Washington State?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Washington State is red. Or part of.
The left, the western part is... it's
like California. The entire coast is blue and the inside is red.
Yeah. So Kevin O'Neill says RFK votes for protests. I guess he knows all 76,000 of these people. Protest for what? I don't know. We have a lot of...
there's signs up in my neighborhood that said they've got both candidates and then an X through both of them saying it's the same thing.
Oh, by the way, I didn't see a Libertarian in the ballot here. Just the three of them.
Hmm.
Is that right, Matt?
And they finally gave up.
Let's look it up, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think... I don't think... didn't we have... I could have sworn last time or the time before we had Libertarian, we had a Green Party. We had the Green Party had people for the...
Jill Stein.
We had the Green Party for the Reclamation District.
Well, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, but I mean, how do you not have a legislative candidate or a presidential candidate, but you find some people who want to be in the Water Reclamation District? What do you do when you get there if you're the Green Party person? What do you do all day?
Sounds like a good job.
You know what? It was there was a group of us that helped support Nancy Drew Sheehan for state treasurer. And she had the job. She was on the Reclamation District. And this has to be, this is easy 20 years ago, maybe more. I'm thinking maybe 25. And she was on the Reclamation. And then it didn't pay much. I'm going to say $30,000 a year, maybe, to be on the board of the Reclamation District. But you had gotten your name on a wide list of people to vote for, so you had won a spot where you needed to have signs and all those kinds of things, and people knew your name. It's an amazing entry level position, and at the time, they paid you enough for a person. A person would be your assistant, and if you decided to move on to some bigger campaign, immediately became like your campaign manager, and you had all the postage you wanted, I think all the phone calls you wanted, back when phone calls cost something. So it was like a jumping spot for your next post. And I guess you got for me, I would love the job because you know me and how stuff works. The idea that I could actually know how all these tours of all these facilities and stuff.
I found the Illinois Green Party website. They got 10 key principles. Lots of social justice. Lots of...
we don't want any social justice.
Lots of... grassroots democracy, ecological wisdom, decentralization, community-based economics, feminism, gender equity.
What does community-based diversity, economics even mean?
Not done. Respect for diversity, personal global responsibility, future focus, and sustainability. 10 key values.
Okay, then.
And, Chief, it was Chase Oliver was the Libertarian candidate this year.
Oh, he was on the ballot?
Yeah.
I just kind of blew by that one so fast that maybe I didn't do much.
Who'd you write in?
I can't say.
Oh, okay.
What if it was you?
It might have been me, yeah. One vote for Matt Byrne.
So Washington has 8 in the Democratic Party and 2 in the Republican Party. Maine has right now 1 in the Democratic Party and none in the Republican Party. So there must be 2 other spots up here, I guess. Isn't that right? It's got to be. Got to be 2, right? Iowa has 3 in the Republican Party, 0 in the Democratic Party, with 1 area looks like it's going to be Republican. So there, Arizona has 5 Republican and 3 Democrat. Alaska is 0-0. You sure you get 3? Even if you have
Yeah.
Well, no, this is for the House. You only get 1. You don't get 3 for. You don't get a. You get an electoral vote for the 2 senators. But if it's, you only got 1 rep, you got 1 rep, right? So Alaska looks like it has 1 rep.
So they got 2 senators and 1 rep.
Yeah, but the rep is to be determined.
Take it away.
There you go.
It's too long. It needs to be a punishment for this.
Too long. God.
You can't just dick around.
Let me see. Zero of one races called by the AP. They've got Nick, Republican Nick, somebody and somebody, Begich. He's got 49.5% of the votes. And Mary Peltola, the Democratic incumbent, only has 45. So he's up by 11,000 votes out of 125,000. How the hell is he not called?
Maybe there's one place that skews heavily.
Only 76% reporting. What, do you got to go up by plane to find the other guys or what? Maybe. Yeah, it's kind of... So let's see, Trump's going to take over interest rate policy. Musk is going to... do you think
interest
Musk,
rate policy, what?
Yeah, he wants the... Musk, who's our new dictator, by the way, is now saying that the Federal Reserve should... They can't raise rates or lower rates without Trump's approval. And he's also... You think Musk has any...
I haven't seen that one. Where'd you see that?
It's right here, bud. Where the hell are we here? Okay. Let's see. Well, first we're going to see Musk versus Fed. We have Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk. The billionaire backer of newly minted president-elect Donald Trump endorsed the idea of allowing presidents to intervene on Federal Reserve policy. Musk's comments came after Federal Chair Jerome Powell said he would not resign from his post if Trump asked him to do so. There you go. Over the course of the 2024 presidential campaign, Trump often flirted with the idea of giving himself a say in Fed policy if he were to win the White House again. All right? There you go.
I think that the majority of people online were saying that Elon and Ron Paul were talking. Same thing with... He wanted to come back into government, possibly.
Maybe the guy should... I don't, whatever. Let's see. Bitcoin tops 82,000. How long is this going to all go here?
Longer than the market can stay...
Yeah, well, it's...
Irrational.
We have, our people, we've got everybody. We don't have calls in the way, so we can keep going where we want. So just every once in a while, we're moving our puts up in case it turns.
Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Musk's comment came after Jerome Powell said he would not resign from his post.
Yeah. Maybe Musk wants that job, or Ron Paul, or one of these guys. Which one's the old man? Which one's the kid?
Ron is the dad, and Rand is the son.
Yeah. Rand almost didn't win, right?
I don't know. He wasn't up.
Sure he was. Texas?
He's in Kentucky. Where is he?
No, I think he's in Texas. No, so who's the guy in Texas?
Texas is Ted Cruz.
Oh, Ted Cruz. That's the guy I'm talking about.
The other guy.
I get these guys somewhat confused once in a while.
Mike Lee. So Elon reposted Mike Lee, and Mike Lee said the executive branch should be under the direction of the president. The Federal Reserve is one of many examples of how we've deviated from the Constitution. So Mike Lee, Elon, and Ron Paul are saying end the Fed.
So the Constitution is silent then, whether there's a central bank or not. So why is it not... Why can't you make a central bank? Or the independent
central
bank? They say
if it's not in it, they don't want it.
What I like about the Constitution is everybody gets interpreted on their own, just like morals now. You interpret them on your own. We're all on our own. I like that.
It's always been that way.
No, not when you had
on Thursday, nuns in churches said and stuff. He would not resign. So
there you go. So are you? Are we going to have a bear head coaching thing here going? Is this it for
who's leading? Who's leading in the pool right now? Because some people were talking about online how they're going to bring back Nagy, and I almost died laughing.
What about Winey? He's still around.
Ugh.
What about us?
I mean, couldn't do worse.
Could you give somebody? Well, I guess
couldn't do worse.
They paid a lot. Could you?
What was it? 140 yards of offense.
They have no line. You see,
that's one problem.
Well, I mean, you can't. You know, it's
yeah, no line. They can't call the plays. They can't execute on the plays.
It's stunning to me how... well, I guess it isn't. No, you know, I'm not going to go into it. But it
quarterback holds the ball. It's a hold. I mean, everything was wrong. It was...
I have not played sports at that level, obviously, but I've played sports my whole life, and I've managed... Well, I coached a football team, touch, and I've run a softball team for 40 years. The idea that all of a sudden you can be missing players and still be just as good, or calling plays to go, you know, that you know you can't execute and things like that. But then again, what do you do? I mean, the Bears come out and they, and I'm not giving anybody any excuses here, but the Bears come out, and one thing even a young line can do, I mean, even guys that are off the practice squad, you ought to be able to at least make an attempt at run blocking. It's nowhere near as complex as the pass blocking and so forth. So they run the ball a couple times. They do okay, and all of a sudden, you see the safeties and linebackers walk up to the line damn near, right?
Right.
So now you're facing nine people. So, okay, I don't care who you are. The Packers with you know, the Packers sweep would work against that. So then you say, okay, we got a pass, and all of a sudden it's a jailbreak. And somebody immediately says, oh, by the way, look what you did. Why didn't you keep running? You didn't keep running because at that level, nobody can have a one-dimensional offense and go more than two plays in a row doing it.
I mean, what was it? 120 yards passing and how many yards rushing?
Well, then the guys go...
70?
Then the guys go, why not get Cole Kmet in the game? Because he's blocking every play. Duh. How could you block and go out at the same time? I mean, anyway.
I wish I had people like Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roman Dunze.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if you're on your back. How far can you throw from your back?
I mean, there's plenty of ways. If you don't have a line, you can just get rid of the ball. You could even run the wildcat or something. The point is, they're running the same garbage strategy that you would expect they would have ditched maybe two or three games ago.
So
they were talking about
even if you and I are playing tackle. There's still plays you can call. What are they?
Call it a bubble screen or a sweep or something, or even something where you have two people in the backfield where you have options.
This is the bane of people who are Monday morning armchair quarterbacks. If you don't have to, tell you what, I get out in a softball game, and which is a lot different. But all of a sudden, you know, my left fielder has to work overtime. Okay, all of a sudden, we got you playing left field, and a team we've played 100 times before goes, wait a minute, they're missing their left fielder. Why don't we all hit to this new guy and see if he can catch?
They were so bad that you could... I would have tried snapping it to one side. I mean, putting the quarterback on one side.
We're talking about a succession of 50 desperation plays.
At some point... Desperation. I mean, that's their entire existence right now.
Anyway, how about we change the subject, but stay on sports. I mean, once in a while, I don't know how I ended up watching on the radio, which I never thought would be on. I think you get a much more view. The radio announcers are much more truthful than the TV announcers. I don't know if it's because they're not evidently bought by the stations or whatever. So I'm listening, for whatever reason, I'm listening to the Ole Miss Georgia game. And Ole Miss beat Georgia, for those that didn't know. Was a big upset, right? The Georgia, or who the hell they beat? It was Georgia, right?
Are we talking...
College. Yeah. Ole Miss beat Georgia, right?
Right.
Well, they're sitting there, and they got some guy who, he's one of the backs. He's not the feature back on Ole Miss, but he's another guy. This poor guy, he was, two things about him. One is, I think he was, I don't know if he was an infant, but he was very, very young. And some tornado whacks their house. And I was listening, and you know, somebody was honking, but I think his grandparents, his mother, and one of his... gets killed by this thing. And he's like the only survivor.
Ooh.
Yeah. Somehow, you know, somebody took care of him. But now he's on his... And I don't know what the story is. I'll have to ask Kevin on Wednesday about now you can only transfer once, and then you got, or else you got to sit out. The kid is on his fourth school, and he's at Ole Miss. He went to, I think he went to a JUCO, then he went to Clemson, then he went to some Division II, and now he's on Ole Miss. How the hell, how, What does his transcript look like? Is there a class anyplace?
I don't know.
I mean, why, at some point, and I'm going to get all kinds of people, you know what, I don't give a crap. I'm going to get all kinds of people writing in or something. Why don't we just forget it and say, look, you want to go to Illinois to play football, go to Illinois and play football. You have some kind of off-campus rooming house, apartment complex for the athletes. Pam, if you want to go to class, if you want tuition paid for, guess what? It's part of your NIL, but you got to pay taxes on it. You can go to class if you want. If you don't, you don't. Let's just do it. What are we doing with the rest of this crap? Let's just make it what it is. Let's make it what everybody wants it to be. Why say the person is making academic progress or not? If he wants to go to school, let him. If somebody wants to sit there and do bongs all day and chase women and do God knows what else you want to do as a football or basketball or baseball player.
I'm pretty sure that a lot of people do that.
Let's not even make it a pretense. If you sit there and say, by the way, I'm on a college campus, I wouldn't mind getting an accounting degree or something, fine. Part of your NIL is your tuition, which becomes income, which you pay tax on, because it's something, you're getting paid tuition to do something. And if you want to, out of your $1 million NIL money, if you want to spend 50 grand in Illinois or Notre Dame or some damn place to go to school, it's up to you. If you want to go to class, go. If you want to flunk out, go. Because by the way, the tuition you're paying and you're paying tax on it, let's just go there. And you can switch schools any damn time.
Isn't tuition written off for...
It's not considered income, which is insane.
No, but if I'm paying tuition, can I write it off?
No.
No?
No. You can't write off tuition.
I don't know.
Look, this is what's so screwed up about the tax law. If you were working at PTI and said, gee, chief, I want to go to get my MBA program, we can write the check, but you can't. No, you can't. Same thing with hospitalization. I mean, how stupid is this? Yeah. But why let's just get rid of the whole fallacy and let's just do it that way. Why not?
I think college is kind of a fallacy. People aren't learning much.
Well, why do you say that? When was the last time you were in college?
Long time ago, but I mean, the majority of college is...
You think if people are going for engineering and pre-med or accounting, don't learn anything, or pre-law?
No, pre-law, not so much.
Well, I mean...
anything that...
You should be learning a lot about legal history, should be a lot about history, should be a lot about English, should be able to write, should be able to...
Majority of people are just in college to have a party.
Well... Okay, I partied a lot too, but I managed to get out there. Managed to learn while I was there. There was plenty of time in the day. You're only in class for 4 hours, maybe at least. Plenty of time to play basketball or football, do a bunch of homework, and go to the bar. You can do all that if you want. I did it.
Wait, college goes for public university. The money goes to the state. Where does it actually go?
What do you mean
university?
University. Let's keep coming after break. We'll ask you. No, so you University of Illinois has a. What the University of Illinois' budget is?
A lot.
It's like almost $7 billion.
So they get money from taxes.
They get some stipend from the state. They get tuition. They get grants.
They get tuition, too.
They're double dipping on the public there. They have a huge endowment, probably. Illinois is probably not so big, but it's pretty big. SP Futures up 23. NASDAQ Futures 85. I mean, Texas A&M's got a massive endowment. So does Texas.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR. Innovation in Human Resources. Licensed in Illinois and
Well,
Arizona.
This time, how the chief. This could be one of the toughest investment climates that I have ever seen. It's very difficult for someone to decide between risk-free investments like treasuries or CDs, corporate bonds at all-time low rates, or the stock market, which right now is somewhat unloved. On the other hand, if you have wealth, you are an investor and should be concerned about income and risk. Like everyone knows by now, the PTI Securities has a 14-year investment program called the Protect Index Program that has served our clients well for a long time. I think, however, that people associate that program with new cash investing, and that is somewhat true. What you may not know is that PTI also uses the same concepts and risk parameters to help clients with individual stock positions, especially a concentrated stock position. How many of you have your stock sitting in a brokerage firm where, if you ever felt the need for protection or income enhancement strategies, there'd be no one with a clue on how to help you? Are you really comfortable with those large concentrated stock positions? Ever think of talking about ways to possibly adjust the risk or income potential? It can only happen if that stock is in an account with a firm like PTI. Then again, I can't think of a firm like PTI, with the chief and others averaging 15 years of floor trading. Give us a call or contact PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom. I'm Greg Pappas in studio. We should have John Flanagan on in a minute. And we have Mitt Byrne on the board. S&P futures up 23, NASDAQ futures up 82. It's for sure a celebration along the way. You're down up 185. Let me see what the Caterpillar up 460. Caterpillar has been amazingly volatile for places that makes bulldozers, don't you think? Greg, I don't know why it is. JP Morgan's up 287. We've got Goldman Sachs up 949. Guess what? The banks are going to do well. I'm stunned. American Express up 215. I don't know what. All of a sudden, everybody's going to travel more. I don't know what that's all about. Amazon's up 181. Those are the stocks. Tesla's up another $21. What's that? Now, the other guys, the Piker Democrats, only gave $9 billion. How much are the Republicans going to give them? 20? Double?
I think those contracts are just getting started.
Yeah.
SpaceX.
I have a... I'll talk about it after the thing here. But wasn't he an illegal alien?
Who?
Musk.
Illegal? I don't know.
Sure he was. I think he was. I think he got illegal.
They were saying that his student visa expired or something.
Yeah, he was illegal.
I don't know.
Over in Europe, doesn't matter though. He's okay. We like him. DAX up 261.4%. FTSE up 62 points. Maybe we'll deport him. I wouldn't mind that. CAC round up 88.2%. We're in Asia. We've got the Nikkei up 32. Wow. Only call that flat. Hang Seng. I don't get this one. Down 301. It's 1.5%. 20,426. Shanghai up 17.5%. Evidently, China's stimulus falls short of expectations. The thing that's running the world is just money pouring into the system everywhere. On Friday, Dow was up 259, S&P up 22, NASDAQ up 17. NASDAQ was barely up on Friday, which is kind of strange because the S&P kind of led the way during the day. Bonds down 4 basis points, 4.31. So they're going down here on the 10-year, not up like they were. The Bund down 1 basis point, 2.35. Japan 1.004, so over 1%. We haven't seen that in several months. oil. Down 120, 69.18. Brent down $1.10, 72.77. Natural gas up 19 cents, 286. We're still talking about this cold winter, but boy, it's the middle of November and it's 55 every day. RBOB down 2 cents, 198. I got gas for 297 on yesterday morning, Greg.
Nice.
It's coming real. Bitcoin up 3,082, 350. Evidently, Elon Musk must have some Bitcoin or something. He's pushing Bitcoin, and that's where we're heading. Matt, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Yeah, good morning. It's currently 6:37 on November 11th, 2024. Happy Veterans Day. Of course, traffic inbound on the Kennedy is at 35 minutes right now from the Jane Bird Interchange to O'Hare, outbound at 19. Weather in Chicago, overcast this morning, 53 at Midway and O'Hare. Later today, high of around 55 with mostly sunny skies and a moderate breeze. Down in Phoenix, 55 degrees currently, clear skies. Later in the day, high of 82 degrees and sunny skies. In the NFL yesterday, week 10 of the 2024 seasons, Bears lose to Patriots 3-19. This marks their third straight loss this season. Bears are 4-5 and bottom of NFC North. Vikings beat Jaguars 12-7. Detroit Lions won against the Texans 26-23. And tonight, the Dolphins play Rams at 7:15 p.m. on CBS and ESPN. That's all I got, Chief. Back to you.
What do you think? We had Mr. Flanagan?
We don't right now, but we're still waiting for him.
Why don't we... Why don't you track him down? Meanwhile, did you guys see the Detroit game last night?
They end up losing?
No.
No?
The guy kicks a...
I fell asleep.
The guy kicks a 56-yard field goal with like 2 minutes left or something to tie the thing. Then they get the ball back and the guy kicks a 52-yarder to win.
Oh, the guy, those the are guy, some nice kicks.
Well, the guy's on the... what are they playing? The Guardians?
So Lions play the Texans at Texans. And it was a 3.5-point spread. Texans were underdogs. And for most of the game, it looked like they were going to win. I guess in the fourth quarter, Detroit managed to pull it out.
So get a load of this. In the meantime, the Guardians get the ball. And their
what are you talking about Guardians?
Or not, isn't that where they play? No, who did they play?
Lions play the Texans.
Or the Texans. Well, that's it. They both wear red. What's the difference? So their guy.
Aren't the Guardians a baseball team?
Yeah. Well, it's hard. Or the Commanders are the other guys. It's, mm. I can't.
Oh, Washington?
Yeah. They played Houston. I got an actual question regarding the footballs. Is now everybody's kicking kicks over 50 yards like they're nothing. The guy on the other team, they try a 58-yarder, the Titans, to go ahead.
What?
Yeah, so they got the ball at the, where the hell would that be? So you're talking 58-yarder, you'd be on the 40, right? So 8 yards back and 10 yards at the end, that would be a 58-yarder. So they got the ball on the 40, and so they try and, instead of like punting it, and burying these guys with about a minute 30 left, maybe not even that much. They try and kick the field goal. And the guy, you know what? It had plenty of leg. It just went left.
Oh.
So, the guy who made the 56-yarder, it could have been 65. It went through pretty high up on the pole.
Man.
So, yeah, I'm thinking the balls, something's going on. So maybe it's global warming. Who knows? So the dude misses the 58-yarder. So now these guys get the ball back on the 40. They get like 20 yards, and then they kick one. The guy kicks a winner from 52. So in the last 2 minutes of the game, the guy kicks a 56 and a 52 to tie it and then win it on Detroit.
That's incredible.
It's unreal. So Detroit was down by 13 points at half.
I don't think I could kick like a 20-yard field goal.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could. You get up there.
Last time I tried one of those must have been a couple, I don't know, we were out jogging and then they tossed the ball. I think I kicked it maybe 20 yards and it was... It was barely...
Well, you used to kick it with your toe, so the first thing you do is wreck your toe.
Ow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 50... How far did you say?
56 was
56.
The one. But the guy who hit the 50, tried to 58, he had plenty of leg. It just flew left.
That's a
and the guy with bomb. The guy who kicked the 56, it was right by the left, or the right pole. It was in all the way, but then all of a sudden, the last minute, it just nicked the pole going by. So instead of the doink, it just kind of... rubbed it.
Hmm.
And the 52, he had plenty of room on. So the guy ends up Well, Detroit's got a real team. Now, as our group of God knows what would you even call our group?
I don't know.
I don't either.
The pirate ship.
The something something. The if that was a if our guys were a pirate ship, we'd never find another ship, much less steal their stuff. we couldn't find them, much less steal.
Well, we would need Jimmer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To do what?
He'll be first mate.
Well, he was texting me yesterday. As I said, who else are they going to beat? We're talking, you know, 4-13.
If you can't beat the Patriots, you got problems.
Well, this was the only game I saw on the.
You can't even score on the Patriots. Yeah. You're really toast.
Well, so I don't know what is with the schedule that they haven't played a division game yet.
I mean, you guys were all over it after they beat the Panthers and the Jaguars.
Well, I never. Well, the game that was telling on how football is these days, because you can get a lot of teams have good players, but it's very hard to get depth.
It was a cakewalk.
Well, they beat the Rams on a day when when they had all kinds of injuries, right?
It was the Europe game where they beat up on Jacksonville. That was everybody was high on everything and. They were saying that Caleb Williams is the best.
Well, but Jacksonville's a horrible team.
I know. So is Carolina.
Yeah, everybody. So they beat those two teams.
And so are the Patriots. The Patriots are a horrible
team. But they beat the Rams on a day when the Rams had how many people out? It was the same sort of thing as the Bears yesterday. They would never beat the Rams tomorrow. I don't think.
They can't score. How do you beat a team if you can't score?
They might get their... They have out of their offensive line, they've got three guys that are decent. The right tackle's pretty good. Left tackle's decent, and the Jenkins is decent. So the right tackle doesn't play yesterday. The left tackle doesn't play.
Yeah, they've got a terrible line.
Well, but
they've got a terrible quarterback.
And Jenkins went out halfway through the game. So you got nobody.
Yeah.
So
9 sacks.
Yeah. Well, and good thing they ran half the time, or else they would have had more. But
they would have had 15 sacks. What's the record?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. It's got to be the Bears. It had to be like Harbaugh or somebody when they had him. They get clobbered every game too. What are he's goofy now?
CTE? What was it?
Oh, but now, how have they not played a division opponent 9 games into the year?
That was probably by design.
Whose design? Why would you even think of that? So they got to play Detroit twice.
Well, they want to get the rookie.
Well, they got to play Minnesota twice. And they got to play the Packers twice. Now, maybe they could split with the Packers. And the other odd game is Seattle. And Seattle's not bad. So who are they going to beat?
Nobody.
Nobody.
They got to get some luck or something or some injuries or someone not to care. Maybe at the end of the season there's going to be people who just want to sit. And then they can have the Bears can run.
Also, I mean, Detroit is already clenched.
And they're just going to sit.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
I don't even know how good is Seattle. Are they horrible or are they decent?
If they've got, well, yeah, Seattle's all right.
All right, so we have you. We don't have Mr. Flanagan. Let's talk some the election stuff last week. We're on a euphoric high here. I don't know. Everybody's going to do everything, and in my opinion, nobody's going to be able to do anything because the numbers just aren't there. But we'll see. And we have all these crazy things. We're deporting people. We're getting rid of the Fed. We're doing all this kind of crap. Is that eye on the ball? What would these guys have done this election if there were no migrants?
If there weren't any migrants?
Who would you blame everything on?
I think they would have gone straight after the people who are doing the identity issues.
Oh, they would have gone for those guys?
Yeah.
But, I mean, you can't say those
identity
guys are
crossing politics.
You can't blame the deficit. You can't blame... Now, according to some people that I talked to this weekend, so it was such a great weekend, all the drugs, all the murders, what else? All the budget deficit, everything is because of these migrants.
Well, it doesn't help, but I'd say the cause of most of our budget deficits are probably ourselves.
Oh, you think so? Yeah. We didn't have any...
Now
let's say the migrant crisis is 4 years old. What do you suppose the budget deficit was 4 years ago? We had
we know that positive. Already, wasn't it? $30 trillion.
Yeah. So that's. I even had talked to somebody from the Hispanic community, and I said, "What was going on in the voting over there?" And the response was, "I can't believe it. People actually believed." This is a lot of them voted, more so than ever, voted for Trump because they're convinced that money going to the migrants should be going to us. He goes, I can't believe my people were that stupid to believe that. That's what he told me. I said, okay then. This guy's not even political. He's just a regular guy. He goes, these are people that are absolutely convinced that somehow we're getting shafted by these people. I said, okay then. You know, Greg, you can't fight against it. You just wonder when...
Just ride the wave.
Just ride the wave, I guess. So, riding the wave, what are we supposed to be long here?
Everything?
At some point, do we want to...
I don't know. I'm long the wrong stuff. Well, I guess I'm long Bitcoin and Tesla, but I'm also long a bunch of garbage, so it doesn't really work out.
Well, what do you make of, in terms of futures, in terms of, let's assume... That, you know,
I think oil's going down this morning.
Oil's been in this range forever. I mean, I get more grief from my opinion that the oil business is pretty much bigger than any president. Oil's there's all kinds of oil worldwide, and if anything, if
at $70, I doubt they're really looking to jump in and do more.
No,
if it rallies, they might, but. It would be interesting to see if the government wants to increase capacity, how they get the private sector to do that, because there's not too much incentive for them to do that unless the price really jumps.
I think it depends because of advancements. Like you say, you don't want to interject any kind of facts into this thing. It's supposed to be all what side you're on, right? Why would we want any facts? I think since the fracking has gotten so much more advanced than it was a few years ago, I do believe that those guys can make money at
in less than a month they can.
No, I'm saying I think they
gear
can
up and start.
It was
fracking more.
Yeah. Okay. What I'm saying.
Whereas before it was 6 months, 8 months, a year.
Well, no, I'm talking about what price do they need to. Make money at it.
Break even?
Yeah. I mean, I think they can
45?
Do that. 45? Yeah, I'm saying so, but it was way higher than that a few years ago, I believe.
Depends on where you are and what kind.
Well, the stuff in Texas, I think I was reading about how they have this new technology where you can go a lot more horizontal once you get in there. So the amount of... The amount of oil you're pulling out at where you can make money at $70 is like a real lot.
Right.
So it's a. Here we go. U.S. production of.
I know for Exxon, it's like right around 40 or 45.
Okay.
And their biggest expense, I think, was their what dividend?
221, which is right about when Trump left office. We were doing 13,000 barrels a day. Okay, so, and that was during COVID. So, of course, it dropped like a rack after COVID. It made it down to, we went down to, the low month was like 10.5 in 10.30 2020. From there, we've gone straight up, and now we're up to 13.5, which is almost exactly where we were. It's 500,000 barrels a day more than when Trump left office. So after the COVID, it dropped way down, and then since then it's gone right back up. So now we're way at record oil production. We're not even close. I mean the low tick was 9/12/2008.
Are you talking about domestic or are you talking about
domestic,
global?
U.S. weekly field production of crude oil.
Yeah.
9/12/2008. So that was the end of the Bush term, correct? This is the most, if you look at this you could give an interview to, especially every Republican in the world. You could give a interview to just about everybody, and no one would say that the president that was worse for oil was Bush. It actually went down during his administration. It went up almost every day under Obama, and started and went down. And only went down in the 2017. Remember when the oil went down to, well, traded below zero to futures?
I think, yeah, that was wild.
Yeah.
I think one interesting topic would be, if you're trying to break even, it depends on whether you're drilling new wells or using existing wells. So the new ones obviously are going to cost more, so maybe your break-even cost is around 60 or 65. But existing, and once you have it and once you can frack, you know, it goes down, you know, call it around 40. So depending on the breakdown of if they're doing new or existing, that changes it a lot. And if the price goes up a bunch, then you want to do some new ones too. So then your break even goes up, but the point is their cost is still below some of the Middle East. So if we wanted to, you know, we could provide our own energy for ourselves and have the rest of the world fight over whatever is coming out of the Middle East.
Well, but there's, last time I checked, there's like 21 countries that produce oil. There's all kinds of them.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's amazingly difficult to ride herd on the energy in the industry. It's a total, out of the industries there are, the one that's probably the most perfectly competitive is oil, which, as much as people don't like to see that because you've got big oil control and this, that, and the other thing, but every time...
Yeah, perfectly competitive is interesting because there's a whole lot of other geopolitical and stuff that really influences who can sell what to who and how and what kind of markups are associated with those sales. So
I didn't say it wasn't complicated.
Yeah, it's definitely not a substitute good.
Well, but you have... I'm saying in terms of a president being able to... I don't know what happened during the this is a spectacular charger I'm looking at. We topped out at around 8,900 barrels a day in 2020, 85, and then proceeded to go from there, like I said, down to 5 in the Bush administration. No, 4,300 a day in 2006. So we our production was cut in half over a 20-year period.
Yeah, if you're able to buy from somewhere else and it doesn't make sense to, you know, open those new wells or do what, or you can just bring it in and nobody complains.
But well, a lot of it has to do with, I mean, and I want you to explain this to the listeners. It has to do with basis. When I say basis, if you're in the Permian Basin, there was nothing there in terms of. I guess there's a railroad. There might be some highways. Boy, there can't be any more efficient way to move oil than through tanker trucks and trucks. But all of a sudden, I think they might have a pipeline at least part of the way now, or most of the way. If all of a sudden you get a pipeline, you can have oil or corn or whatever it is. And this is what people that are basically equity traders. Unless you immerse yourself into oil, and no, don't do that.
Well, there's a difference between the price it is right now, the spot price, and the price it is in the future that people are trading in the future, and that's what you're talking about.
No,
right?
I'm talking about the price on your field versus where you have to sell it. I'm talking about the basis risk. So you look at soybeans and you go, okay, well, I'll pick a number. It's $10 a bushel, and all of a sudden I'm sitting on my farm in Illinois and in the middle of nowhere, and I got a bushel of soybeans. How much are they worth? Nothing, until I get them someplace, right?
Yeah.
Unless I want to eat them. I mean, maybe if I'm a mile away from the local grain elevator, and he goes, I'll give you four, because it's going to take me a buck to get them to New Orleans or someplace, wherever I can sell. Everywhere you go, there's a little bit of a discount, right? So, if I have oil in the Permian, and guess what? I'm nowhere near a pipeline or a road or more likely a train, what's it worth to me? I guess I can put it in my gas tank, except it's not gas, it's oil, right? So
right.
It's worth nothing. So I think that since some of the stuff is these things are opening up, I think there is a pipeline out of the Permian, which means that now instead of taking a $20 discount to get it someplace, maybe it's 10, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, all this stuff, it's an amazingly complicated industry, but it also makes sense. We used to do this, you ever hear those money shows? Some guy, talk about a guy who had a deal going. Guy's name, what was that for? He looked just like Charles Schwab, the guy. But he ran these money shows. And his wife was, she might have been the brains, but she also was like a travel agent. Anyway, it'd be a big Las Vegas thing, and the CBOE, the Options Exchange, would go, and they would have it. The thing would be like 4 days long. And everybody speak. Anybody who's trying to do you out of your money is at this place. There's oil and gas guys. There's guys, if you wanted to buy a vending machine on a tollway, those guys are there. They had the numismatic people were there. Okay, what are numismatic people? Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Those are coin collectors.
Oh.
I didn't know what it was either until I saw it. Well, plus the lady was hot, so I had to talk to her, right? years ago.
Bingo.
Yeah, so, but I mean, these things were every conceivable thing. Every fund was there. Every futures fund was there. I mean, incredible amount of stuff. But they had all these oil and gas deals. And every one of them, the thing I learned about it as I'd go from place, because whenever everybody else was in a, giving out seminars, and you're manning the booth like I was doing for the CBOE, you had nobody to talk to. So you stand there for an hour, basically, I'm walking around talking to people at the other booths. So I find the oil and gas deals were absolutely spectacular. Everything's, oh man, it's an oil well. Everything's easy. No, it's not easy. No, everything is complicated. There were guys that had, there were some spots in some counties in Pennsylvania where, and actually some in Ohio, where you knew exactly what you were going to get because there were so many wells in that county. There were places in Ohio where it's going to cost us this much to punch the rig into the ground. We know we're going to find natural gas because everybody else has got it around. Unless we find a one spot that doesn't
unless
have
unless you swing and miss.
Yeah, have to. I mean, really, you get like 12 strike. We're going to pull out this amount, and by the way, your return is going to be 8%. Or 9%. Okay, fine. A lot of people wanted to get in those deals. They weren't all very liquid, but a lot of those paid off exceptionally well. Then there was one was in Alaska, and it was originally bought. God, it was a Standard Oil of somebody in like 1952, and they had a real good idea. There was oil there. There wasn't a road, a rail car, or a pipeline within 800 miles of the place, right? So all of a sudden they sell it to somebody else.
Got a little bit of a discount.
Yeah, they sell it to somebody else. And as time went by, they finally got a road somewhere close to the place. Now all of a sudden they're saying, okay, we're actually going to drill here. Now if we drill here, we might really swing and miss, but we think, the seismologists think, this could really be a good one. And, in like the Oklahoma movies, where the thing's spouting out of the top, although that doesn't happen anymore. So now all of a sudden, but there were all kinds of different. Some you were swinging in an area that they just thought might have a whole bunch of oil, where if you won, you really won. There was other areas where they knew exactly what you're going to get, and you're going to get your 8% return like it or lump it. So, I mean, it is really a fascinating industry, And I would actually go back to the hotel room and read these different things. And every single one was different in terms of what you were going to get, how much gas, how much oil, what grade the oil was likely to be, what refineries you had to send it to. I mean, I'm no expert on it, but I will say this. It is really something that is a complicated and fascinating.
Oxy have earnings this week?
I've never once done an earnings plant in Oxy for some reason, but S&P futures up 26, NASDAQ futures up 96. Someplace in here is going to be a sell, Greg. Is it going to be this week?
November 13th, Oxy earnings.
Yeah, I've never once done a spread there for some reason. I don't think I've ever really...
It's not volatile enough for you.
No, it's not really. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Back to programming in a minute, but first, listen to this. Seems the New York Mint is releasing to the public classic U.S. gold coins. There's a number you can call for free historical information and a free DVD. But first, it says that during the Great Depression, people were greedy for gold coins because no one wanted to face economic turbulence without the security of gold. The government finally took them out of circulation, and a government meltdown was ordered. That's why most of us have never even seen a classic U.S. gold coin. But recently, a stash was discovered in Europe. Gleaming U.S. gold coins minted between 1866 and 1933, all uncirculated. It says the New York Mint is releasing them to the public on a first-come, first-served basis when you call, here it is, 1-800-906-3949. Wouldn't that be amazing, to hold U.S. history? Okay, if you want that free historical information and the free collector's DVD, the number to call is 1-800-906-3949. 1-800-906-3949.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, that'll be the day when you say goodbye.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. S&P futures up 27, NASDAQ futures 104. I want to ask Matt, you're a young man. Won't ask Greg, he's gotten too jaded with life. Is it a lie if you can get other people to believe it?
I would say so, yeah. Depends on how you feel about it.
You obviously went to what I would say the right schools. We don't want your opinion anymore.
Catholic schools.
Yeah. You can't do that. If you can get other people to believe it and you believe it, it's not a lie.
That means it's truth.
Yeah. I guess so, yeah.
I mean, you know, whatever. Do we have Mr. Flanagan who thought it was a holiday?
We do indeed.
Yeah, I thought it was a holiday. My bad. Good morning.
So why don't you explain to everybody what holiday you thought it was?
I think it's Veterans Day.
Well, it didn't used to be.
Yeah. It was Armistice Day first.
Yeah. You know what? And you're probably the only one. Greg, what does it mean by Armistice Day? What was it all about?
Is that the European one, or are we talking about
European one?
Japanese.
Japanese one? Were Japanese in World War One?
Oh, World War One. Okay, never mind.
What was it, the 11th minute of the 11th hour of the
11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month when the armistice went into effect and it's a ceasefire, really.
Yeah. There never really was a surrender of any kind. It was then they went to Versailles for the treaty, which, in one man's opinion, really caused World War II, right?
Yeah. The U.S. opted out of it, never ratified it, so we made a separate peace with Germany in 1921 with a treaty. So,
what? Pretty interesting stuff when you think about it. John Maynard Keynes, the big economist, he was the economist at the Versailles talks, right? Was in a railroad car, of all things. And, World War One had to be one of the most, it's hard to say which war was more brutal, when people doing all kinds of stuff, flopping people's heads off and stuff like they were doing. And where did Japan go in the rape of somebody's, what was the city's name, Nanking?
Oh, the rape of Nanking, yeah.
Yeah, and the Civil War was pretty brutal. We were stacking people on top of people. But World War One was really something. I know my aunt from Britain, her father had been father or grandfather, I don't know, one of the two. He was gassed, and he was lived his life with like one lung or something. I don't know why one lung had to be taken out and not the other one. Can you imagine a lung getting taken out in 1918? Did they even have? Would you have ether, maybe?
Ether, yeah. That was the preferred anesthetic. When was preferred, meaning there's the only one that worked.
Well, when was ether invented? World War or Civil War, there was no ether. They just give you
a bottle of whiskey and a piece of wood to chew on. So,
and then they started like sawing your leg off. Basically. Yeah, that was interesting.
But, that's the scene of Gone with the Wind in the makeshift military hospital. No, please don't.
Yeah.
And you hear him screaming at the end of the scene, yeah.
The, did you ever read the, was it Killer Angels? Had to do about,
I don't know that.
About Gettysburg. It had to do with, pretty interesting, about how, was it Longstreet was a Confederate general, right? I believe. And he was,
yes.
He was way more advanced, shall we say, in tactics than some. And his think was, you know, one guy with a rifle behind a tree was worth like 10 guys walking towards him in the field. And you think about Pickett's charge in Gettysburg and how ignorant that was. People going up against, you know, just people shooting at him, hoping you made it through. But the first day, the Confederates won pretty much everything in Gettysburg, right? So Longstreet's riding along on his horse, surveying all the front, and his horse shies, and it was a huge pile of arms and legs they had sawed off. People were all in a big pile outside of this, and the horse thought that there was something wrong with that. He didn't want to go near it. And the horse had some brains. I don't know about the, we just got to think from Mike Murphy. It was mustard gas that this guy had been gassed with, but I mean, the thing that I was always kind of curious about is why was one lung okay? It couldn't have been too okay. The guy must have still... Anyway, he made it to like 65 or something before he croaked with the one lung that they somehow hacked the other one out. But, he also says Kill Rangers was a good book. It's a real good book. Anyway, a lot of that was in... what was his name? Peter Burns. Had a lot of the book on his... was in his documentary of Civil War.
Oh, Ken Burns, yeah.
Ken Burns. The, yeah. Peter Burns is the guy who was in the SIBO. So, oops.
Yeah.
Peter Burns is the actor from... he was on a bunch of the shows with... what was the guy? With Dennis Farina. And some of those. He worked as a Second City guy, good friend of George Wentz. Anyway, I'm reminiscing here a little bit. But, John, we have a lot of... Today used to be Armistice Day, now it's Veterans Day, but now it's a bank holiday, but it's not an exchange holiday, so we're still trading today. But no cash bonds, though, right, Greg? Because they essentially trade through banks, so it won't be
right,
any cash bonds.
But
the bond futures will trade, and it'll be somewhat of a slow day because banks aren't around; they're all off. But all securities firms are working today, so get that going for you. The market's up.
No mail delivery, I don't think, is there?
Well, there's never, you know, whenever.
So Armistice Day was World War One, right?
Right.
And why did it become Veterans Day?
Because nobody remember what Armistice Day was all about.
Well, it was after World War Two. I mean, it was still called Armistice Day when I was a kid, but I think it changed at some time in the '50s. And the idea was to commemorate not just.
Armistice Day failed, so after World War Two, you change it to Veterans.
No, we ended up having so many wars. Do we fair? Yeah. Why not just have a
Korea and then you know?
Well, if you celebrate, you celebrate the end of World War One, but it wasn't really the end, so you got to stop celebrating it.
Well, I mean, there's two groups of people. One that think there's a World War One and a two. Some of those, and I'm moving toward that way, that say it was really one war with a 20 years off.
Yeah.
20 years which, off. Sort of like, was it the 100 Years War, Jan?
Yeah.
but they didn't fight every year for 100 years. They did fought for a while and then, you know, stopped.
Well, economic consequences of the peace, that was what, 1919?
1920? Yeah, the Treaty
of Versailles. Yeah.
I think that, you know, the reason for the change was that Memorial Day, which used to be Decoration Day, you know, that the Confederates really began celebrating to decorate the graves of the Confederate war dead, and then it became one, you know, a holiday commemorating the sacrifice of the Union too. And so Memorial Day was to remember the dead, you know, those who died in war, and Veterans Day was in effect really those who survived the war.
Right, it's
too, and that we had several more wars to think about after World War One. So, the you know,
the
made a little more generic title. So,
to be old and grumpy, we're running out of days for the amount of wars we're celebrating. So we had to put them all in one day. Is that a fair but disgusting?
Well put.
I mean, what if we had a holiday for Vietnam, for Korea, for you know, for Afghanistan? Pretty soon, nobody'd ever work.
I predict we're going to have a Soldier's Day. And then
well, Veterans Day is Soldier's Day, basically.
Yeah.
What's Memorial Day?
Memorial Day is for people who died. That's the most solemn. That's why
they weren't soldiers?
Well, nobody cares about the people who weren't soldiers that died.
Yeah, there's no holiday, you know, for the civilian deaths.
No.
I'm talking about Soldier's Day.
Well, if you're a soldier, you're a veteran.
We can't figure out which war, and then we can't figure out which soldiers...
What if you're in there for 2 months? You're a veteran, right?
Yep.
Well, yeah. We got a Veterans Day. Just saying.
I don't know. People are co-opting each other's days.
Well,
it's
no,
confusing.
No kidding.
It's confusing.
How many more years are we going to have? How many more wars are we going to have? When are we going to have an Afghanistan Day war celebration, Jen?
I want a war on terror commemoration.
Oh, no.
Oh God.
Oh no,
Jesus!
How many dead were can we count up for that war?
Well, yeah, and going.
Yeah, the numbers are still coming in.
That one you actually need a civilian's war.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. So, John, did you watch the Bears?
I didn't.
Lucky guy.
Yeah.
Smart.
I watched a little of the Notre Dame. About as boring, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't put the beat down on him.
I was mentioned before we dragged you out of your slumber, knowing it was the wrong day. I was watching what did you think of my comment earlier regarding college football? Let's just get rid of the whole facade, no class, no nothing. The guy's from Ole Miss. The guy goes, well, you know, Ole Miss basically got their ass kicked by Georgia last year, right? And it was obvious to the coach. They got some new coach. They gave a bunch of money. Now they realized what they needed, and they went out in the portal and got it. Got all these other guys. Does that sound like a college team, or does that kind of sound like pro? what are we even doing here? And you know, you see all these upsets are going on. Miami lost, Georgia lost, and you see coaches that are no longer. In coaching, yeah, I'm convinced that it's, even if you're Saban at Alabama, I don't think you can build up any depth because everybody wants to play. So as you get more and more games that they're playing, you get less and less depth. I think you're going to get these upsets all. They just don't happen. I mean, I don't think Alabama has 85, 90 people stacked up that can play anymore, because if you're the 80th guy, you're somewhere else because you want to play. What do you think about that?
That makes sense.
Yes.
You know, eventually that's going to make, you know, all these games pretty unwatchable, I think.
Well, yeah.
I mean, the bettors will like it. The gambling will do just fine with it. And there'll be lots of you know, interesting odds making. But I think as a spectator sport, one that, you know, the alumni and everybody can get behind. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to wither away.
Well, what do you think of, I mean, I just, I don't want to sound like an old grumpy dude, but.
Let's just be proud about it.
Yeah, but I mean, why would anybody go to a four-hour Saturday night game in South Bend in friggin' November when it's raining out?
Yeah, well.
I mean, I know when we were young, I don't want to do that. You know, I was one of those guys that if I had a ticket and it was a 1 o'clock game or whatever, you know what? I always went. I could always put a coat on. I could always do something. Put the boots on, and I went. I never got bailed out by. I never said no. It's too nasty for me. I was never one of those kind of guys, right? But when you start talking about not caring at all about the stands and actually scheduling stuff. Like in Green Bay at 8 o'clock at night in January or sometimes I'm sitting there going, "It's at this point, it's no longer me being somebody who's can stand up to the elements and I'll show them." It has to do with what are you doing to me? I mean, somehow we crossed that line. You know, I've sat at more Bear games at 12 and 1 o'clock, than I care to say. I mean, you know, foolishly probably. But I mean, I'm not gonna. I went to one night game. It was lousy. I went to that Monday night game when they retired Butkus and Sayers' jersey. How long ago was that? And it poured. It's pouring, right? And I'm sitting there going, okay, it's not just making it back in the daytime. They didn't let any cabs near the place. There was no buses near the place. It's Soldier Field. Chicago is so screwed up. It always has been, at least. I don't know what they wanted to do, but they'd say buses to someone's site. They wouldn't let anybody close. So you had to walk to Jackson. You had to walk to the Jackson L stop, which is, what, 2 miles maybe?
Oh, yeah.
This is a midnight. I'd have to yell there to get home. I'm like, what would possess anyone to do that? I took the L down there at Roosevelt, and they wouldn't let you go back down Roosevelt at that time of night. I don't know why they wouldn't let you do that. So they filtered everybody in the loop. There had to be three or four fist fights at Michigan and Balboa fighting for cabs. This is fun. I mean, anywho.
In high school, Tom, I remember, at Carmel, all the students stood in the center of the stands, the student section, and we stood for the entire game, which, high school games weren't that long.
They're 12-minute
quarters. But I'd rather stand at games today than sitting on a bench with no back support after several, bouts in my life with back trouble. I can't do that. I just can't.
Well, Jen, I know... You know what side you were on the election. I'm going to ask one question. Are you concerned at all about the interjection of this Elon Musk as everybody's next new hero? I'm real concerned about it, but you know, I'm on the other side on this.
Well, I guess I'm happier that it's he rather than Bill Gates and a lot of other people. I mean, I'm not so enthralled with Elon Musk, maybe as some people, but. If you were to create a gallery of some of these, world-class whatevers, I'd put him on the side closer to normal than I would a lot of the other competitors. So I guess I think he knows what he's doing at some level. I don't think he's got any special talents beyond maybe, knowing how to pick up government money when you can get it, which is a skill, I guess. But I don't see him as so pernicious as other people who've had their fingers in government and still do. People like Gates and other people of that ilk, and not just in this country but elsewhere. So I'll take Musk, in preference to some others.
Why do we have to? I'll take Lucifer over somebody else. I mean, why do we need any of them?
Well, that's politics. You don't get to craft the ideal candidate or make sure that person gets elected. You got to make compromises at every step. So this is a compromise. I think what needs to be done is going to take somebody with Musk's visibility.
Well,
give him a stage.
I'm not so sure everybody's convinced on what needs to be done. To be honest with you, but
something big needs to be done.
You got to be careful. You do the right thing if you do something big. In my experience dealing with all kinds of people, managing money and so forth, and giving seminars and talking to people, I find that people that are amazingly brilliant in one walk of life, a real lot of them, and where's Dr. Blade when we're talking about this, have a real serious problem is they think because they're brilliant in one spot, they're brilliant everywhere, to the point where they can absolutely be damaging to themselves and others.
Remember the Peter Principle.
I mean, I tell you, I've had a whole lot of doctors that have been clients or clients of other people I've talked to at seminars, and they're absolutely convinced they know everything about trading. And I don't know. What do you think, Greg? Some of them, you could put what they knew in trading in a thimble if they were absolutely convinced. I mean, I'm sure it was like me trying to, you know, take out somebody's appendix. You wouldn't want that either. But at least I understand that. They didn't. I mean, a lot of people are in some just convinced that whatever anybody else does is really easy and they know all about it instantly. I mean, I'm not so sure.
Known unknowns versus unknown unknowns.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not so sure that if you gave any kind of a test that Musk would know anywhere near as much about the Federal Reserve and the history and what they're supposed to be doing as anybody who's ever been a guest on this show. Do I want him in the middle of that? No, I don't, really. I'm just saying. I'm sure he doesn't want me designing his car for him. You know where I'm going with this. I mean, it doesn't make somebody an expert just because they have an opinion.
Playing the role of an opportunist here, and you know Trump is too, by aligning himself. And I get it. I know why politicians feel they have to do it, and there's people on the other side who are very happy to get the political protection and platform by aligning themselves with somebody who's, you know, just won a major, you know, popular vote. So there is this kind of synergy there always was in politics. And you're right, we don't vote for people like Musk, you know, in any of this. But I do think, you know, you have to expect it to some level. And, you know, what happens if it doesn't work out as well as, you know, people tout it or whatever? I mean, the disappointments come anyway and always will. And it's like somebody's going to have all the answers up front and fix all this. I think it does take a kind of unified front of politics and business, you know, short of fascism. That, you know,
well, I mean, what do you mean short? We're there.
Well, I don't buy that.
No. I'm not talking about the, you know, in terms of business being their nose up the ass of government, we're right there.
Oh, but that, yes, but I mean, it isn't like, a fascist state like Italy or, you know, Nazi Germany yet.
Well, I'm saying the economics of it, that's the part that I have a real somewhat economic issue with a lot of people necessarily that are on the right. They'll say, we don't want something that is with the view of free market economy here is pretty much toast except for a few industries and some levels. I mean, you can still open up a restaurant and you can still do those kinds of things, although you're going to pay more than somebody else will. You can still get there. I mean, to a certain extent, we're still America in some areas. Now, of course, you can't become a trader with $20,000 in your account like you used to be able to. You got to work for Citadel. You got to work for Belvedere. You got to work for one of 10 places, Wolverine. Well, that's different. So I wouldn't exactly call that competitive. So that's one area that's been kind of shut off. Oil probably is still pretty competitive, actually, and it's the one that gets the most abuse for being not. But when people say we don't want to give money to people, we don't want the welfare, we don't want to become communistic. Well, I don't think that's the people who say that, I think, don't have a clue what communist or what socialism even is. Socialism is a whole bunch of people getting together and say, this is what we're going to do, and this is the way we're going to do it. It's not, there's a whole middle ground there that either isn't socialism or what I would consider to be free market capitalism. And one of the things in the middle can be a fascist economic system, which means four or five, maybe not even that many, favored businesses in every industry with their nose up the ass of government. And when I was in Europe my first time lecturing in 1991, I was horrified. This many law firms, this many banks, this many this, all seemed to be favored. People who were in there had nothing but money, and if you were young, you didn't make any dough as an attorney till you were 40. You couldn't get your own law firm together. God, no. Nobody would pay attention to you. mean, it was we're getting way more like that than we are any kind of Swedish sort of model, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah. My bigger fear, though, I mean, we've always had a pernicious alignment with the armaments industry and arms traders. Eisenhower pointed this out when he left office, and it's gotten so much worse since then that you can't even really measure it without being horrified over and over again. But the thing I really hate about what's developed in the last 20 years or so is the mingling of the intelligence arm of the government with politics. And this mixed in with the military's involvement in political decisions or statecraft is a killer combination. It's the intelligence involvement that's worse, because it's got clean hands. It just people walking around in nice suits and expecting people to respect them just because they've got some gravitas about them, when what they're really doing is selling everybody out like a riverboat gambler. And I don't see that changing easily, because it operates so
well. That started so you had to trace that back to the Patriot Act.
Oh yeah, well, and now look, I mean, with the whole thing with the the mess in Ukraine, and the 51 agents certifying that the laptop from hell was Russia disinformation, and that all those people still have their security clearance. Go figure that. We don't need people like that in sensitive positions. We don't want people like that in sensitive positions.
What about the people who covered up JFK's assassination?
And still are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the intelligence operation. I mean, they were flexing their muscles for the Kennedy assassination, getting rid of Mossadegh and Iran and, the Korean War. There were all sorts of intrigues where intelligence started to sell itself as the better expert than the military hierarchy, or working hand in glove with the military. And the Kennedy assassination is the first really stunning and horrifying example of an intelligence operation just gone haywire and thinking it's in control. And it stayed in control to this day, pretty much, without paying the price for it that a lot of military brass did, because of what happened in Vietnam, with people being humiliated and having their careers destroyed. The intelligence operation goes along and always finds ways of saving its reputation and living to fight again, and doing it without being out in the open. And that's what's really disgusting.
Well, the names that keep surfacing as I keep reading more and more about the people who were, I won't say involved, I'll say there at the time, right in the middle of the whole mess, was George Bush. I didn't realize that he was one of the biggest architects of the Bay of Pigs thing.
Yeah.
And so we ended up with...
And the Kennedy assassination.
Yeah.
October surprise in 1980 with the hostages in Iran and tipping the election against Carter. I mean, he's got his fingerprints all over the place.
And look how we got rid of him. We made him and his family president for 12 years.
Right. That's the same thing with Cheney.
Yeah.
He's still doing it. I mean, the fact that Kamala Harris thought she was going to get votes by harnessing herself to the Cheney shows she really has some nutcases running that campaign.
Well,
that shows the hubris of these people, that they still think they've got something to sell and there's people waiting to buy it.
Well, the people are buying it. And I think unfortunately, the way we're going economically, every 4 years we're going to have a revolution against the person that's in there. The whole thing that's so bizarre to me, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's bizarre about the last election, is that the Trump is this huge savior. He was just there. You look at the numbers when he was there and the stuff that happened, he's no savior to anybody. I mean, I could see every whenever you have problems, every 4 years you get sort of bum out and get a new bum in, right? But it's hard for me. It's hard to go back to the same bum. I mean, I look at the whole last 8 years, and I know people for some reason don't. The whole last 8 years is, if you look at just about any economic number, you can't tell when one left and the other one went in. And yet, people are making this amazing split there between one guy was God and the other guy was the devil. I don't know how you even go there. I mean, but that's where we are, and that's where we are now. You want to hang around for Nance, because we got a lot of real estate stuff. Let's be features up 22. There's a features up 79. Chris, she might think it's a holiday too. We'll see. We'll see in a second. Be right
I
back.
See her on there.
So she didn't make the same mistake, eh? Yes. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right
now. Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howell. Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures up 20, NASDAQ Futures up 72. I've got a couple of texts in from our good friend Mike Murphy, and I was thinking about, John, I'm thinking about this. We should have Mike on and talk about, when Mike was Army Intelligence, who the hell is supposed to actually do what? We've got CIA, we've got NSA, we've got Army Intelligence, I'm sure Naval Intelligence. God knows how many different groups we have. And I think we'd love to hear, at least in the mind of somebody who's involved in that, where one person's responsibility started and somebody else ended, or else they just overlap on all these people. We'll try and get Mike on to do that one of these days when he's available. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 281, 1.5%. The FTSE up 56.7%. CAC around up 97, 1.3. So they're very bullish this morning. Not just a little bit, but very bullish. Nikkei up 32. And it's almost flat for those guys. Hang Seng down 301, 1.4%. Shanghai up 17.5%. As China data and stimulus fall short of expectations, we need more stimulus, more stimulus, more money. I saw a movie in high school regarding Rome. Every time one of the politicians went down the block, there were guys pounding on their stones. Increase the dole, increase the dole. Sort of like increase the money. Friday, Dow was up 259, S&P up 22, NASDAQ up 17. Bonds down 4 basis points, 4.30. So for the moment, the rise toward 5% not only has stopped, it's going the other way some. The bunds unchanged, 2.35. Japan, just over 1%, 1.006%. Very close. Oil down $1.59 now. It's more, 2.2%, 68.79. Brent down 148, 72.39. Natural gas up 21 cents, 2.88. For some reason, we're still thinking we're going to have a cold winter, even though not so far. RBOB down $1.86. Down 3 cents to $1.97. It's 1.86%. We've got gold down $32, $26.62. Gold's getting clobbered. His Bitcoin's going up, so very interesting there. Silver down 29 cents, $31.15. Copper down 3 cents, $4.27. We've got FX. The U.S. dollar has been really, really strong. So the euro is down to 106.38, but it's the lowest since June. On tariff worries, they claim. I don't know what the connection there is. British pounds is down to 128. Not as big of a chunk down as the euro, but down nonetheless. And we have crypto of 2,481,713. It actually hit 82,000. Now it's come back some. Crypto euphoria because of Trump. There we go. Be right. No, we won't be right back. We're going to go over to traffic, weather, sports. So, any good news about the Bears, man?
No. For as far as news of the Bears, yeah, that was their third straight loss of the season. They lost the Patriots 3-2-19. It was a pretty brutal loss for them. Right now, they're bottom of the NFC, 4-5 this season. Tonight, Dolphins play Rams at 7:15 p.m. on CBS and ESPN. If you want something for the NBA, the Phoenix Suns lost to Kings 118-127, and the NFL Blackhawks beat Minnesota Wild 2-1. So at least we got the Blackhawks.
They suck, the Bulls suck, and the Bears suck.
We all suck today.
Yeah, everybody sucks today.
Over to you.
Do we have Nance?
We do indeed.
Nance, how are you? Tell us something good, will you? We're grousing here about the Bears and about some of the stuff with the not so much the economy. Economy, well, the markets are we're cheering. What are you seeing on your end? Is there interest rates are creeping down a little bit? Is that enough for a bump down in mortgages yet, or no?
Mortgages have bumped down. They were down maybe about 3-4 weeks ago, and now they have started. You know, they're going back up. So, you haven't seen the Trump has not had a big effect on that yet. So we'll just have to wait and see where that goes. And the good news is the Bears at least won 4 games. I mean, that's better than what they did last year.
I think they're done winning.
You think they're done? Okay. Well, let's see.
Well, I mean, I've asked my... You should come down tonight or one of the nights when I meet with my gang. They're all Bear fans. Now, are you going to wear the big orange shirt like they do?
No.
A couple of these guys are big enough that when they walk down the street, they look like the setting sun in that shirt, but that's another story. God, is that nasty to say. They're convinced they're going to be 9-8. Who else do you think they can beat? Have you looked at their schedule?
No, but I have not looked at the remainder of the schedule, but they should have won yesterday for sure, so...
I think it was the only game I thought they could win on their best on their schedule, and they didn't.
Yeah, I did too. To be honest with you, I thought they'd win yesterday for sure, and especially being at home. So that's not a very good showing. And then I have heard that Caleb made a comment against Matt Eberflus.
Well,
so I don't know if that's true. Well, is that true?
Well, he was very positive about him. He likes him. I heard Adam talk this morning on the way in.
Interesting. See, I don't know, but I don't think they can win much more. They're going to have to, you know, figure it out. So, right. I mean, I thought in the beginning of the season they might win like 6. You know,
you were never playoff bound like the rest of the goofballs.
No. Oh God, no. I mean, you can hope, but that pretty much is what you really need to be in the hope when you are a Chicago fan.
Well, one of the issues...
Certainly not believing.
Well, one of the issues you have in the last few years is instead of Detroit being 2-0 every year, they're 0-2. They're that much better than the Bears, so you get that flip going.
Well, Detroit did... didn't they do well last year, too?
Yeah, I'm saying it's been a few years. This guy's been the coach. They've been doing a lot. Well, I'm sure it's a whole organization. It's not just him. All of a sudden, they got all these good players. You know, they lost their best player like 3 weeks ago, and they still seem to be winning. The guy who broke his leg, guy from Michigan. So we're still not down low enough.
You're really not down low enough for refis. I have done a couple, but not enough to say that we're there. We're not. We were down to about 6% about 3-4 weeks ago, and now we're back up closer to 7s. You know, 6.5. Just depending on what you're doing. So that's not enough for a refi yet.
Well, are there some people that paid 8? So they might actually be able to here?
I had one woman that was at 11-something, but there were a lot of things wrong with her. She had bad credit. Her DTI was really high on the back end, and she had to get it done. Had been turned down at several places, so... I did get it done. 11 was ugly, and I called her and said, you know what, it's down to 6, let's go. And you did what I asked you to do since I did the first one, so her credit had improved, her DTI had improved.
What's DTI?
Debt to income ratio.
Okay.
you know, she paid off a bunch of credit cards and things of that nature. So all of it worked out, and we had her done in less than 30 days, and she's as happy as a clam. So in a situation like that, of course, that works, but there's not enough of those people out there. I mean, that is not really what went on. Some people were as high as 8. I called all of those, but I didn't really have that many. Like, most of the people have been in the higher 6s, so it's not enough to refi at all.
What are people paying on the second house? The second mortgage for the little renovation for the new bathroom because you can't afford the new house, or what's the interest rates on that? Are you doing any refis, or people want to, you know, essentially combine the two?
Home equity lines of credit are usually done by the banks right now, and they're at 8% and higher. You know, prime plus some, prime is 8, so prime plus something.
Prime doesn't need to believe
people are at 8.
So, John, when did prime stop becoming prime? 40 years ago? John, you with us?
He's there. He's muted.
Yeah, he's muted right now.
Did you mute him, Matt, for some reason?
I did not mute him, no.
Unmute thyself. When did prime stop becoming prime, Nance?
It's always been prime, but the lines of credit used to be prime minus something. Now it's prime plus something.
Well, the definition, okay, I don't want to say how long ago this was. Definition of prime was if Pullman, I think actually Pullman was a massive borrower because of all the stuff in the Middle East and everything they were doing. I think Pullman borrowed at prime, and prime was, by definition, Matt, check me out here, put down prime lending rate. It's supposed to be the rate that the biggest banks give to their biggest and best clients. And anybody else was above that. So if you were damn near a biggest and best client, you were prime plus a quarter or prime plus a half. All of a sudden, prime became this big number that everybody's under it. Nobody, how can you get under prime? I'm saying the whole definition has changed as we've aged, Nance. Nobody even remembers what the first real definition was, I don't think. And you could never get a loan under prime unless you were Exxon borrowed at prime. You and I didn't.
You're right. It says the prime rate is the interest rate that financial institutions charge for their most credit-worthy customers.
Yeah, they're not talking about you or me either. They're talking about Pullman or General Motors. Well, they went bankrupt. But that's what prime was. And if you were prime plus 2, you were huge.
Oh, they changed it. Prime rate is 7.75%. Whoop-de-doo.
I guarantee you that Amazon is not borrowing a 7.75. They're way below that, I'm thinking.
That is correct. Well, they really got hurt when prime rate was like 2%. And now they have floors that prime rate can't go below 4%.
Yep.
But I do agree there's a big spread on this prime rate. And I know my line of credit on my house is 9.25. So it probably fell a quarter. So now today it would be like 9%. So I'm looking to get a new one because they are running specials for like 4.99% for the first 6 months. Some are running, one's running 4.75% for 6 months, then 4.99% for the first year. And some institutions are just absolutely doing nothing.
Well, so aren't you getting anybody who, bought the house, their mortgage is 150, and then they borrowed 150 to put an addition on, and all of a sudden, the house is worth a hell of a lot more? It's still not up. Still not worth it for them to refinance and put them all into one.
For right now, for something like that, they very much could be a good candidate, but under one, depending on, you'd have to sit down and figure out the numbers. But prime rate. The problem with the line of credit is you have to look at how much credit you have on that second line, if you only have use it for emergency purposes, let's say you get like $5,000 or $10,000 on it, and you know how you're going to pay it off, that's one thing. But it seems like the lines of credit start creeping up where they have, you know, $40,000, $50,000 on it. You're not going to pay that off on a regular basis. It's just, it's too much. I mean, so in 60, if you had in five years, if you had a $50,000 line of credit, you'd have to pay it $1,000 a month to get it, you know, basically paid off.
Well, do most people get a housing line of credit, or do they just actually walk in and say, I want a $50,000 loan for a new bathroom?
Most people get a line of credit, and the line of credit is fine, except now we have the problem of how are we going to pay it off. So,
but it's a floating rate then.
Yes, and it's like I had a couple Friday who I saw, and they said they just want to get a line of credit, and they have $320,000 worth of debt that they, or some portion of that debt that they want to put on a line of credit. Actually, if you just to get the payment down, and if you have that high, you really belong going back to the first mortgage, because that's ultimately,
are we talking,
you can always pay more, but you can't pay, you know, you have to, in a line of credit, they can, what's going to happen in 10 years that's going to improve your situation?
$320,000 in debt, is it? Are we talking student loans? Are we talking two Porsches and a Jeep? What are we doing here? That's a lot of debt.
It was a lot of big ticket items that added up to that. And
good Lord.
Basically, I sat him down and said, I really believe the best thing you could do is just start selling some of these assets.
Sell,
you know, if you're not really
Porsche.
Using them, you got it. I would get rid of it if you could. That's what I would do. I said, instead of a line of credit, I would go to a mortgage. But I told him I really would try. They were open to the idea of selling some of the stuff. They didn't know how, so I showed them, like, you know, you can Google certain things and then start finding things. So I think that would be better for them than actually, all these loans they have are unsecured. So why would you want to make them secured? Just get, you know, try and get rid of them.
It's unreal.
Try and get rid of them.
What's
it's not worth it.
How a couple of the guys that I hang with, this happened to be the crazy Bear fan guys, are in the distressed mortgage business, Nance. I hear stories from these guys that I absolutely cannot believe, yet I think they're true. People that have lived in a house 5-10 years that have never paid the mortgage and stuff. Have you ever run into something like that?
Yeah, a lot of people move in. It's I wouldn't say it's common, but I will say that people, I have seen situations where people move in, they make one payment, maybe two, and then they just default. And they stay in default until they can be evicted.
But sometimes it's like years, right?
Yep.
It could take 1 year, maybe 2 years. I've never heard of anyone being there 3-5 years, except possibly during COVID, because I don't think much happened during COVID.
And some,
you know, people had I think during COVID, you did not have to make your mortgage payment. If you couldn't, you could go on forbearance. And I think that went on for about a year or 18 months. So if you were, you know, if you just had hit that period, nothing happened, and then you came out of it, then it would be another year to two before you could, you know, they would get you out. Foreclosure takes a while, especially in Cook County. Not in Will, you're out. So it depends where they're at.
Well, these guys tell me it's a state-by-state thing. You've heard so many stories, Jenny. But it seems like if you set it up, I won't say you're a sleazebag, but you're a clever sleazebag. If you set it up in advance, it seems like you can use the bankruptcy thing back and forth on this stuff. One of my guys has a guy in California. He talks to the guy. The guy's real smart. I don't know if he's attorney, John, maybe. Sorry for that shot. But I think he did something like deeded 20% of the thing to his LLC, and then the LLC went bankrupt, so that got him 2 years in bankruptcy. And then you have these sequential bankruptcies?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of this is strategized, you know, before they ever select property to buy. They know they're going to go in and make one payment and then find some way of dragging it out. I was amazed a couple of years ago. I read some study about states with judicial foreclosures like Illinois, which is a long process, you know, compared to other states, and how many defaults were occurring after one payment. So clearly this was some kind of a scheme to do this and to just ride it out, and then, you know, you get squatters in that you couldn't evict during COVID and everything else, and you just ride it out until it became a little too hot, a little too close to the fire. But people were enabling themselves to live rent free, mortgage free for years.
It was a planned event. I totally agree with John. It's a planned event now. And you try and weed, I have to try and weed that out before I make the mortgage. But I have not had that happen to me. I have seen it happen in complexes, like townhome complexes, things like that. I have seen it happen, though. And it's ugly because it drags down everyone else in the complex.
Right.
Because they don't keep up their property. I mean, besides doing it, which is bad.
Well, not only that, you're living right next to the person.
Correct. And it's very difficult for the whole townhouse association, especially if you're in a smaller one, like where there's 30, 40 people. Because it just sends the wrong signal. It gives people ideas. And
well, can you sniff it out? When you're doing the application? The record, they finally got these guys out of New York. 12 years. They were six people on the deed, Vince. And each one of them declared sequential bankruptcy. One would come out of bankruptcy, and then the bank would say, okay. And then all of a sudden they'd go, now next guy declared. And every time you went in, it took 2 years to come out. And evidently, if you declare bankruptcty, you get 2 years and have to pay your mortgage. I had no idea about that.
But you got to stay. Yeah.
That true?
Well, in New York, yeah. I mean, depending on New York.
In New York.
These guys have to be.
I don't think it's true.
No. These are the hardest ones are New York. You can play these games in New York, California, pretty much. Illinois is pretty hard to boot somebody out because they actually don't want to go boot the guy. In Texas, they boot them out right away. I mean, boot them out way out in Texas. But these guys have to be the good ones are registered to know all the laws in like 30 some states. They're all different.
Well, and I think what's happened, and I can see it even in the neighborhood where I live on the Northwest Side. That, a place across the street from you was purchased in 2004, 2005, way over market value, like three times what I think the market value was, with six co-owners on it. The thing went into default immediately, and I was checking it out. There's sequential bankruptcies, like you were describing, for these various owners. And in the meantime, the property was always being occupied by different tenants. So, and I'm sure they were charging over market rents for the people who were living there, who seemed to be just like temporary workers, and they're sleeping in shifts in the various bedrooms in this little bungalow. So somebody was making a lot of money on rent and not paying anything to own the property or the taxes, except, maybe every other year they pay the taxes and drag the thing out, endlessly. But the people doing it knew what they were doing and made money on it. That's the scary part.
Well, this weird part for me is, there's a lot of weird parts we talked about, is the people who own the mortgage, the bank or whoever, the distressed mortgage company, no matter what, they have to pay the taxes. Because if they don't pay the taxes, the tax auction gets in ahead of the bank, right, Nance?
Yep.
Yes.
So if we're talking about a firm, like if we were in the distressed mortgage business and we bought 100 mortgages and two of them were like this, We're paying the taxes for a decade on somebody's house who's living there and isn't paying. You couldn't write fiction like this.
Right. it's very sad if it's a planned event because when they get it, like, you can no longer close in an LLC in Illinois. And you can't close in land. Well, they won't even let you close in a land trust anymore. If you want to, and then if you deed it in after the fact, if you want to remortgage, you have to take it back out. So they're trying to end some of the loopholes from these planned events. But you'll never, I guess you'll just never stop like these, fraudulent transactions.
Well, so you can't do land trust in Chicago anymore or in Illinois?
You can't close in it. can't close in it. You can you they still have them. After you have to personally sign for everything, and then you put it in the land trust.
Oh, okay.
It used to be the land trust could close in the land trust name. They won't do that anymore. So, like you're saying, these people had, you know, 20% in an LLC, and they went under their. They've tried to stop. That has pretty much stopped.
What is the, is, you know, Jan, our right wing dude here? What is it about the government's drive? And this is not just, you know, I don't think it's one side or the other. What is it about the government's drive to basically denut trusts and corporations from individual people being, from, when I say individual people, that's wrong because individual people, from small people to doing that, but big people still can get away with it. I mean, the, I mean, in other words, if I had a plumbing company and, you know, the way, with Sarbanes-Oxley or whatever the hell it was, and I want to get a loan from a bank, they're going to make me personally guarantee it for some reason. Yet I guarantee you, Elon Musk isn't guaranteeing anything. I mean, why not? I guess, at what level, and who decided, it wasn't a corporation was designed, that the bank felt the corporation was, on its own, worthwhile, the plumbing company always paid their bills, they could give the corporation a loan, and now all of a sudden the government says, oh no, you may want to do that, but you got to get this thing signed by Nancy herself. Who the bleep is essentially intercepting these laws and making this line of demarcation? If you're this size, you get to do this. If you're not, you're not. But this is happening. Go ahead, John.
No, you know, going back to the 19th century when corporations became citizens, you know, with all the protections that entailed, now it's just gone off in, you know, kind of a scary direction where, you know, the protections that, say, a land trust would offer somebody, and everybody would like to be able to, you know, prevent liens against you personally from attaching to your real estate, would love the idea of a land trust. So typically somebody who got sued frequently, like a lawyer or a doctor or, you know, anybody in a business, construction company, you didn't want to own real estate in your name and have the debts that were incurred by that name attached to any property you lived in or owned that had nothing to do with your business. So everybody would like to have that kind of defense against creditors. But at some point, the corporate interests, the bigger names, became, you know, prime customers, I guess, and were entitled to the protections that the average person no longer can enjoy. So, you know, these laws were not, you know, the idea of a trust in Illinois, the Illinois Land Trust, did not make any distinction about who the beneficiaries were or how much money they had or political power, but it certainly turned into something now that it's, you know, there are distinctions made along those lines, and the average person doesn't get protections that, you know, other, you know, corporations, larger entities can enjoy. So, yeah, it's been a you know, general trend, you know, where, you know, the laws are not made for everybody. They're made to protect the people at the higher level and to, you know, stick it to the people down at the bottom.
Well, Nance, and I will say this. The only thing about this campaign that my predictions came through on is not one of the 10 things that I'm really concerned about, some of the stuff that John just mentioned here or explained to us, not one of those things was talked about during the campaign. So I was spot on. I'm not sure I want to be right on that one, but we didn't talk about any of the raising the maybe the limit for capital gains if you lose money, because with the market up this high, there's going to be some people someday that are going to lose a lot of money, and $3,000, the only thing you can write off is kind of a chumpy amount in these days, this day and age. That hasn't changed. I could rattle off a whole bunch of them, and not one of them is a topic for discussion. So how am I doing?
I guess you're doing very well. I just want to make sure you understand that if you're just dealing with a bank and the bank is going to hold your mortgage, I would, there's, I don't, each individual bank can do whatever they like. So Elon Musk is dealing in a corporate world, not in the same world we're in. We're right. Dealing in where Fannie and Freddie buys your loans or VA or FHA, but Elon Musk is got enough companies where they look at those assets and then say, okay, we're going to take on this much. And then they probably even contact other banks to make them loans because they don't want.
Well, my point is, if Tesla goes out and get a loan tomorrow, he's not signing for it, but if Nancy's plumbing company that hasn't missed a payment in 40 years, somehow or another, there's a law that says you have to guarantee it now. And I don't know where that came from.
I don't
from.
Think there's a law that says I have to guarantee it. I think that the bank is saying we're not going to lend you money unless you guarantee it.
But it, somehow it's been made a lot easy, hasn't it, Jan, with the Sarbanes-Oxley? Where they claim that you have to or something? The bank regulations, is coming from more of a bank regulatory area, which comes out of that bill, I think. The bank may not want to, but they may feel they're forced to. Am I right there, Jan? On some level?
John's muted again.
All right. Well, we got to dash anyway, Nancy. Good stuff. Am I ever going to see you?
I hope so.
We were right by you.
Am I ever going to see John?
Oh, God. Janet is threatened to come out this week some night. Should I call you if he actually does?
Absolutely.
All right. You take care of yourself. SP Views up 16. Nancy Views up 70. I'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.
Wrong, sir. Wrong.